Our next unit of study, fullness in Christ. Fullness in Christ, Colossians 2, 8 through 15. These verses speak about one very large issue in life for most folks, and that is struggling with emptiness of life, lack of fulfillment. Oh, the crazy things people do to try to find meaning and purpose and fullness in life and not feel like their life is empty and wasted and vain, and the things people do, the remedies they try to find. How many people, too, you read testimonies and biographies along the way, people that are kind of objects of jealousy and covetousness by multitudes. And yet when they write their story, their life is empty, frustrating, no fulfillment in it. Well, these verses in Colossians 2, 8 through 15 really speak right into that issue. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, concerning fullness in Christ, also includes a warning about philosophy. So many people turn to philosophy to try and find fulfillment, turn to human explanations of what man thinks life is all about, how man got here, where he's going, how to help him get there, things like that. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Again, it's a warning. Beware. Watch out. Be attentive. Matthew 16:16. Good correlation here to see how basic warnings are and the calls to alertness are in the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Significant portions of Jesus' teaching were not only on here's the way, the truth, and the life, here's what it is all about. There were significant times of warning, watch out for that. Here he says, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 12, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Unhealthy teaching, untrue, ungodly teaching, carnally centered or motivated or incited teaching is like leaven. You know, leaven is that corrupting little influence in dough that you mix it with another, a whole lump of dough, and that leaven leavens the whole lump. Unbiblical, unchristlike, unspiritual teaching is like that. It's like introducing into a life or a body. Leaven, corruption, that which can permeate the whole thing if it's not dealt with. And this was not some radical little sect out somewhere. When Jesus warned against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he was warning against the two most popular, respected, and influential religious teaching groups, you might say, in all of Israel. The conservatives and the liberals, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And basically, though they were very different from each other, they were both missing the mark. The secular psychology coming from the world into the church, I would list it as the number one issue to warn about in light of a verse like Colossians 2:8. And even when you say, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teaching of the Sadducees and the Pharisees was the most popular teaching among the chosen nation. I mean, that was the... You either got your teaching from the Sadducees or the Pharisees. And Jesus warned against that. The most popular influence in our culture today, since we've become such a psychological society, is secular psychological theories that people try to adapt or integrate or Christianize. That's the number one issue on my heart to warn in light of this verse, Colossians 2:8. We'll maybe talk about some more along the way, but there's hardly a more dominating influence in American culture than psychological theory. Consequently, that's what threatens the church the most, because we're so vulnerable and tempted to receive what the world has, to be so wise and so contemporary and so sophisticated and all that. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Talking here of the Judaizers, the legalizers, you know, the legalists. Warnings, again, pretty basic, to Jesus' ministry as well as the Apostle Paul. Beware lest anyone cheat you, rip you off, take away what God wants you to have through philosophy and empty deceit. Beware lest anyone, that's about as broad a pronoun as you can get when it comes to warning. Beware lest anyone, that is all the way from the most brazen, foolish, debauched cult leader, all the way to the other end, to maybe some of the most respected evangelical leaders. Anyone, it's a broad term. And the range of danger out there in the church world is broad. Some Christians get caught up into fringe groups or even cultish groups. But often the greater danger for Christians to get cheated or ripped off by the thinking of the world often comes through very respected church leaders. I mean, there are many very wonderful Christian men in national prominent leadership in the American church that have bought heavy into philosophical issues from the world, like psychology perhaps being the number one offender of them all in the American church. There are a lot of wonderful Christian men that love the Lord, have some respect for the Bible, have a great compassion to help people. I think of Dr. Dobson. I mean, here's a man who obviously loves the Lord, helped many. I've sure been blessed by him countless times. But it doesn't mean, therefore, that everything he teaches and says is ironclad, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In fact, quite the contrary. He has an enormous arena of ministry that has to do with child raising and family and counseling, where he is totally committed to integrating psychological theory and Bible truth. And that's the subtlety of this. Beware lest anyone cheat you. You know, if it was only some guy inviting you to a spaceship behind a comet, you know, that'd be one thing, you know. You know, and few Christians get caught up with someone like that, though some might. But someone like Dr. Dobson, who is commendable in so many arenas. I mean, he has some areas of ministry that are the most powerful, maybe of our century, when he exhorts for righteousness, you know, for abstinence and against pornography and is a lot of righteousness issues that there's maybe never been anyone any more bold than him. And the reason he's so mighty in God there is he has no place to draw that from but the Word of God itself, you know. He didn't learn those things in his higher education training. So this is a very sober warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you, because the cheating can come unintentionally by very godly men. And I have no doubt that anything happening there that's unhealthy is unintended by Dr. Dobson. But when you measure some of his message and ministry to the Word, you can see, that is not acceptable. Sorry. None of us have it perfectly together, biblically in doctrine or practically in walk. So we all need to be helping each other, encouraging each other, warning, exhorting, rebuke, discerning, and all that. Just in some situations, it's maybe more radically an issue than others. But I think that is the approach we should all use with the Lord, with ministry, and with one another, not to be cruel or condemnatory, but to be wise and helpful to one another. And also separate often the man from the message in the sense of evaluation. See, I can't know Dr. Dobson's heart. I sense a lot of it because he's such a blessing with his passion for God and his desire to help people. And I say, you know, God bless you, Dr. Dobson. That's great. But I see an area of ministry where he's compromised the Word of God. I'm bound to not accept it, but even to, because it's a public issue, to publicly warn about it. And it's not condemning him because, you know, we all have shortcomings in our practice and our teaching, and we need to be sharpened. Plus, I'm not his God anyway. Only God knows his heart. And what I do sense of his heart, I must say, is a blessing to me. Yeah, I think those are the kind of issues the Scriptures lead us to deal with. But that's quite a statement. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Yeah, but his name is, just beware, that's all. If his message and his walk are as upstanding as his reputation, then you may have little that will you'll need to be concerned about as you watch. But just beware. Just beware. And notice, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Philosophy. This is an arena of severe warning in Scripture. Philosophy, empty deceit, tradition, basic principles of the world. It isn't that everything out there in the world is wrong and anti-Scripture. For example, mathematics, geometry, physics, and all that. It's not innately anti-God, and it's not a substitute message. Those things just really sort of demonstrate, it's in the field that you call it of natural revelation, they just demonstrate how God made creation. And that's not something that is a deadly influence in our lives. It can become a substitute God. There are people who live for, you know, mathematical theory, and that's more important to them than God himself. But mathematics itself, that's how God made it. He made it so that 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, that's how he created it. But philosophy, that's another issue. We are warned heavy to watch out for influence by philosophical thought. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Look at Romans 1. There's a lot of philosophical implication in Romans 1. People developing their own ways to think, evaluate things, and put life together. That's philosophy. Watch out for it. Romans 1, 21. Well, let's start with 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. As far as God is concerned, he knows every person gets the same message from creation. God is powerful, God is eternal, God is there. No matter whether people say they're agnostic or atheistic, it doesn't matter what people say. God says, by them looking at creation, I've made them to get this message from it. I exist, I'm powerful, I'm eternal. But then philosophy comes in and redefines it all. Verse 21, because although they knew God, that is, they knew God existed, they did not glorify him as God. They didn't bow down to him and acknowledge him and worship him, nor were thankful, but became, here it is, futile in their thoughts. Futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Futile thoughts, foolish inner ideas and thinking, darkened without the light of God. That's philosophy. That's empty deceit. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Watch out for the wisdom of man. Before God, it's foolishness. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Oh, how tradition so often rules in the world. And even some places where it doesn't rule, it still has a dominating influence because all people want to be as anti-traditional. And for a lot of people who want, you know, kind of conservative, traditional, that's their life. But for many, it still is the main influence. All they're interested in, often, people, is being non-traditional. Well, whether you're sold out for tradition or your passion is to be non-traditional, either way, tradition is the major influence. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man. Do you know the place tradition had in trying to buck against and block Jesus in His ministry? Matthew 15, you remember these? Think of the influence tradition can have in the lives of people, those who are called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 15, verse 2. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. You know, they had a ceremonial kind of washing procedure that the followers of the Pharisees had and the disciples of Jesus, and they just weren't doing it. He answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, that is pronouncing it korban, that which is dedicated to God so you couldn't share it with your parents. Verse 6, then he need not honor his father or mother, that is with those resources. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by what? By your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me. What made their worship vain? Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When we let human tradition displace the things of God, our Christian life and service and worship has come to vanity. That's what the warning is about here. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Think about the basic principles of the world. The weapons God has given us can be those that help us to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh, the arguments out in the world, the high things that are lifted up against the knowledge of God. In our walk in the Lord, He wants us to be bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Thinking only the thoughts, only embracing the thoughts that are in line with the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of how many things all around us that need reevaluation, need to be rejected.